Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. All unqualified praise is due to Allah, and after that all unqualified praise is due to Allah. الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين. Praise be to Allah who sent down upon us His book most clear. وكان آخر ما نزل من آياته اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام الدين. This day have I perfected for you your way of life. I have completed my favor upon you and have preferred for you al-Islam as the way of life. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. We bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment. There is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. Lahul mulk, His is the kingdom. Wa lahul hamd, to Him is due all unqualified praise. Bi yadihi al-khayr, in His hand is all good. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, and He has power over all things. Wa ashhadu anna sayyidina Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, and we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is His slave servant and His messenger. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala sayyidina Muhammad. Allah, send Your prayers, Your peace, and Your blessings upon our leader Muhammad, wa ala alihi, and upon his family, wa sahbihi, and upon his companions, ajma'in, all of them. Wa ya ayyuhal muslimun, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجع الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. We'd like to also read an expression of a hadith from Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and it is Hazrat Ibn Umar, that is the son of Umar, the rightly guided caliph, as he's known, Umar ibn al-Khattab, and we say of both of them, radiallahu anhuma. He narrates that the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prayers and peace be upon him, said, moderation in expenditure is half of economy, friendship with good people is half of wisdom, and intelligent questioning is half of knowledge. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the 10th installment on the subject taqwa, and the game of life. And when we ended last week, we ended on the point that discovering, or rather being clear on what the aim of life is, very important. We say taqwa and the game of life, then we can also say taqwa and the aim of life. Once you understand the aim of life, then you understand the game of life. And that's a word that we're very familiar with, just in terms of G-A-M-E. But what we may not be as familiar with, and which is my intention, to get us more familiar with the fact that this thing called life, it is a game in as much as it takes place in a particular environment. It has particular rules, and there's a way to win and there's a way to lose. And you also have competition. We haven't even gotten to the competitive dimension of life, and real short, overshadowing, quick answer is Shaitan is your enemy. He's your opposition, and he's trying to make you lose all the time. So it's about understanding that nature of the game. Everything we're talking about is about understanding the nature of that game. So the aim of the game, which we pointed out last week, is actually, I won't read all the verses because I want to move on to some new elements today. The 11th chapter and the 7th verse, the 67th chapter and the 2nd verse, the 18th chapter and the 7th verse, all of them carry within them the statement, لِيَبْلُوكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ الْعَامِلَ, in some form. In order, he talks about what Allah did. Allah did this, Allah did that, Allah did this. And then he says, in order to try which of you is best in conduct. In order to try which of you is best in conduct. In order to try which of you is best in conduct. So what's the aim of life? The aim of life is to be the best in conduct. Whoever's the best in conduct, those are the ones that are the best. And you can hear that answer in the Quran, the chapter that's translated as the inner apartment, Surah 49, where it says, إِنَّ أَكْرَامَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Surely the best among you with Allah is the one who is best in taqwa. But taqwa also translates into right conduct. Translates into right. Whoever is the best is the one that has the best conduct. So when we say of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Allah says, and we read it, where Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, you have in the Messenger of Allah an excellent model for conduct to follow. That's what we're actually saying, and that's what we should be doing. And when we are, quote-unquote, winning and, quote-unquote, playing the game the best, we are emulating Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all matters. Emulating Muhammad in all matters. So... So the summary answer to what is the aim of life is to always and in all ways act in the best and most meaningful way. You should hear this answer also in the Hadith of Jibril, and as I mention it, it reminds me to say that there's a habit that we have to engage in order to be able to play the game of life best. And that habit is being familiar with the life model, example of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which includes his reports, which includes his biography. All of those elements are elements that we need to be familiar with, so that as life happens, we can always draw on that and draw from that the information we need in situation X, Y, or Z, always and in all ways. But to have as a resource in your own mind already a basis of information to guide and direct your behavior. So to always and in all ways act in the best and most meaningful way. And how do you do that? Well, as the Quran tells us, it tells us first, Iqra. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your guardian evolver. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram. Read and your guardian evolver is most generous. So this is how we get the benefit from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in the world, created in us, and in the opportunity that we have as living beings. It starts with reading. And what do we read? Read the revealed sources. What Allah has revealed. Yes, Allah has revealed in the Quran, but please don't forget and be familiar with the fact that Quran says that we believe in what Allah has revealed, anzala alayka wa min qablik, and we believe in what was revealed before. So all revelation is not only what is in the Quran. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last prophet, not the only prophet. He's the last prophet. And he is in a, I'll use the term, a fraternity of messengers, all of whom brought a brick, all of whom brought some part of the revelation. So in the Quran, we know in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sphere of familiarity, right? In the life of Muhammad, Waraka bin Nufail, the cousin of Khadija, he affirmed Muhammad as the prophet. And also in the hijrah that was made to Habashi, Abyssinia as it's known, they were able to discern from what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had brought to see, oh, this is like what we have received. So we are to be familiar with scripture as a source of guidance. Quran is the complete and pure source of guidance, but as such, it also says, go talk to the people before if you don't believe this is the truth. Go talk. They know this is the truth just like they know their own sons. So our embrace of the revelation is critical to the whole thing. And I think are you trying to live the life that God created you for? Or are you just trying to live, you know, whatever, in a good zip code or whatever, to have a good net worth? I don't know what, you know, everybody have different ways of living. But a Muslim believer is saying, I want to live the life that God created me for. And it does not, how can you say, it does not exclude, that's the way to say it. I got to get two negatives in there, right? It does not exclude having the good things that this life has to offer. Because that same revelation says, don't forget your share of the material world. Seek the life that Allah has promised, but don't forget your share of the material world. And then God says, who has forbidden to my servants the beautiful things that we have created in the world? It's for them in this life, but for them exclusively in the life that comes after. So the extreme of thinking that you have to be monastic or ascetic or antisocial in some kind of way in order to be a true servant of God, that's a lie. That's wrong. But there's a way to do it, and we're going to continue to get to some of that. So the way to be in a condition where you act always and in all ways in the best and most meaningful way starts with reading the sources that Allah has revealed, and then also reading the creation. We're going to learn more about that. Imam Muhammad, who's my teacher, he gave us many, many abstractions that is synthesized knowledge. When I say synthesized, also I say simplified without diluting it. So there's a formulaic way of seeing it, one of them that I'm speaking to right now. It's called creation-supported social logic. Creation-supported social logic. Creation, CSSL. Creation-supported social logic. What does that mean? That means you look out into the creation, you see the way nature operates, you see the laws that as they are in effect, as they work in the world. Something that man cannot and does not create or influence. Man did not create the law of gravity. Law of gravity is already here. Heat, pressure, electricity, whatever. Mass, speed of light, whatever. All those things we call scientific laws and the like. Who did that? Allah created all that. But for what? Not just so that the machinery of the universe can operate. He created it to, yes, cause the machinery to operate that way, but he's also communicating information to us in the way that it operates. I'm staying away from those who get with me on Saturday. We talk about those on Blog Talk Radio. I'm saying at the what I'm sort of setting aside right now, because I only want us to be reminded creation supported social logic. So when Allah says, for example, without detail, He says, "Inna Allah anbatakum min al-ardi nabat." Inna Allah anbatakum min al-ardi nabat. Here Allah is saying, "We create."
That's my brothers and sisters. My apologies. I apparently didn't set the timing for the broadcast right. It's going to continue. But those of you who are on Blog Talk, which is the only channel that we're broadcasting on at this moment, don't hang up or you won't be able to get back in. Mashallah. So be sure to not go out at this point. It's going to play all the way through, inshallah. But if you go out at this point, you won't be able to get back in. And, of course, you'll be able to rejoin us when we start the Facebook, YouTube side of it, if you will. So my apologies, but don't hang up. Assalamu alaikum.
In your social existence and in your social conduct, the laws that are reflected in the performance, behavior, operations that are in creation. When you act in social circumstances in accordance with the message of the material laws of creation, that is creation-supported social logic. And so there's so many. As you just continue to read the Quran, that's how you do it. So that goes back to, you have to be in the habit of reading, right? God says, look at the birds held up without any pillars that you see. Why? Why, God? Why do I need to look at the birds to understand something about them being held aloft without any pillars? He talks about that. He actually talks about celestial bodies as such, but then he also says, look at the birds in their flight. Nothing holds them up but Allah. And Allah explains all this. And Quran, it says, how many creatures is it that crawls and walks, but they don't carry their sustenance with them? They don't carry their sustenance with them. Every creature, every creature has got to go out from itself in order to get something to take care of itself. So Allah is saying, I take care of them and I take care of you. So it's like, yeah, you just like them. And then Allah says, I'm just giving some examples. The point is that God says also, there's not a creature that flies on its wings or crawls, but they form communities like you. All that is saying that you want to know you and you want to know the right thing to do, the proper behavior and conduct for your life, look at the creation that I created and translate. And apply it in your life. That's the creation-supported social logic. Now, what we're seeking to make clear with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that how do you achieve that? One, obviously, I'll say it, I'll repeat it again. You have to be a reader. You have to be a reader. You can't be passive about reading, right? You have to be a reader. So you need to have something that you're always consuming in terms of literature, information, material, etc. All right? And of those things you read, and I'm going to keep my focus on the sacred sources and the creation itself. The sacred sources and the creation itself. And I include in the sacred sources what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left us, and by the grace of Allah has been preserved for us. It is not pure as the Quran. However, the Quran enables us to look and find those things that need to be understood differently if in a given, especially translation, it suggests something that is not proper for the Creator or for the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the idea is, of all those things that you read, including the creation, you ask yourself in the reading and about the reading, what does it mean What does it mean? And how should I behave because of that meaning? What does it mean? And how should I behave because of that? Understand this. When Allah says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he said, inna Allaha anbatakum min al-ardi nabat, he created you growing from the earth gradually like a plant. Plants have to get fed, don't they? Plants have to get fed. So something feeds the plant. I won't elaborate on it, but photosynthesis. It's like if you can make the translation between what photosynthesis is in the world, in the creation, and give it the proper translation for yourself. And it's there. I'm just not spending time going on. If when you get that, then you have the ability in your life to do for yourself what sunlight and chlorophyll does for plants. That's a simple way. What sunlight and chlorophyll does for plants, that's what reading with respect to the creator of the creation and the intention for your life, when you do read in that way, then if you can identify what the sun is and what the chlorophyll is and how that operates in your being, then that's going to give you food and energy for what? For your soul body. See, the plants that I eat from the earth, it feeds what? My physical body. But what is it that feeds my inner body? What is it that feeds my soul body? Right? Imam Muhammad again, Rahim al-Ahulay, he hints that. What does the word Quran mean? What mean, huh? What does the word Quran mean? It means that which is to be read. The Imam gives us a semantic take on it that says, now stop. To what? Be read. To what? Be read. Oh, be read. Put it together. Bread. The Quran is bread. And from the previous scripture, remember, we don't disconnect ourselves from previous scripture. We are a continuation, a correction, a commentary on previous scripture. And previous scripture says, man shall not live by bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord, something on that in that order. So what is the bread? The Quran is the bread. Quran is the food. Quran will nourish us, nurture us. If we can understand. So, and again, I'll say this too. The Arabic term, mufid. If you say mufid, mufid means it has meaning. I know you with me, right? Mufid, mufid. See, if I was speaking Spanish, man, that's mufid. So mu means a lot, right? So mufid in that language. Mufid is like, man, there's a lot of food in the Quran. It's bread. And people talk on the street, man, I need to give me some bread, man. Well, that's the Quran. You get the Quran, you get you some bread, right? So Quran is that which is to be read. So that's how you know. I want to focus on the idea of meaning. Listen, my brothers and sisters. Meaning. And in fact, back to the words of al-Islam, the words from the sacred sources. There's the hadith are reported in two forms broadly. Bil-lafz, lafz means literally words, what the words actually say. And the other is bil-ma'na, bil-ma'na. Ma'na is meaning. Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, this is a different kind of teacher that you know, he was, and to the extent we still have his knowledge, is. When Bani Israel, in the Exodus, when they were in the desert, they were fed with manna and quail. So what's the manna? Meaning. Meaning. Have you ever met anyone who has decided that life has no meaning? I hope not. But the most tragic things that are happening in the world today are people who have decided that life has no meaning. Next step is death and killing, right? So meaning, so the point is, brother and sister, if you don't get meaning into your soul, yourself, if you look around and if you experience things in life and you, well, if you can't explain them in a manner of satisfaction to your own self, your life becomes anxious, depressive, you know, hurtful, burdensome. What does it mean? What does it mean? And that kind of failure, shortcoming, is what leads life to horrible disorder, horrible chaos. So what I'm saying is this. You have to have the capacity to abstract meaning from all things in life. The more you're able to abstract meaning from the events that occur in your life and digest them, metabolize them. How many things are happening in people's lives? I'm just saying this, if you mess with the headlines and the other sources of information in the world, man, it's got some stuff that will... It's like you're getting punched in the head. Did they do that? What? Is that what? And if you are unable to metabolize that, you're going to get some kind of spiritual, mental indigestion. And you're going to be ill. The headlines will make you ill. And if you don't have a way to metabolize the headlines, it's just you're going to walk around sick and dazed. So all of this is to say, dear brothers and sisters, you have to develop the capacity for abstracting meaning from all things. And I guess one thing as we move on this is why you want to be a believer. You want to be a believer. I want you to take that in a very solid, formal, not the status quo kind of cliche kind of way. I'm saying a believer. Why? Because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a part of what he's given us, he said, all things are good for the believer. I think that's a nice position to be in. Because no matter what happens, for the believer, it's all good. Now, I'm not saying it's all good from some moral perspective. Oh, they get killed, you know, murder, suicide. Oh, it's all good. No. Understanding that in your life, when things happen to you, when things that are hurtful, you experience as hurt and pain and difficulty, but you have sabr. That's the coping skill that al-Islam, this perfect favor that Allah has given. How do you cope with what happens in your life that you don't like? Sabr. See, that's abstract. I'm trying to get us to understand. Abstract. What? It's the truth without details. I told you the truth. The Prophet told us the truth. How do you deal with difficulties coming into your life? With sabr. That's the truth, without details. So what does that mean? Well, then you need to go read some more. What does it mean to have sabr? See, once you believe that the Prophet is telling the truth, okay, all right, he told me the truth. But now I know that just because the Prophet says something to me, that's not the complete answer on the face of it. I got to do some digging. I got to do some reading. And I have to ask the question, what does that mean? What do you mean? What does what mean? Sabr. That's what I mean. What does that? So you see sabr. All things good for the believer. When they experience difficulty, they have sabr. Stop. What does that mean?
then what do? You spend as much time as it takes to understand what is sabr. And then when you get to that place of understanding, your heart, your heart will tell you, oh, that's what it is. You read and study. Somebody might get it before you. Someone might not get it. Why, when you get it, somebody might get it after you. What's the important thing? Do you get it? Okay? So, yes, you have to know what your question is, study it, and then your heart will tell you, all right, you got it. Truth is what makes the heart feel tranquil. So when your heart feels tranquil about a matter, then your heart is telling you, you got the truth. What do you do now? Move on to the next thing. And when the believer experiences something that is a blessing to them, something that's, you know, positive for them, and in the state of what the report is saying you feel really elated about something, the believer doesn't let it, quote unquote, go to their head egoistically or any other kind of way. No, they have shukr. They show gratitude. Allah bless you with something, show gratitude. And you have to do the same thing with shukr as you did for sabr. What does it mean really to be grateful to Allah? What does it mean? Remember the questions. The question is, what does it mean, and what therefore, meaning, and what because of that meaning should I do? Allah said you should be grateful. Well, do you know how to be grateful? Do you know how to be grateful in accordance with what Allah has ordered and according with what the Prophet has said? If you can't say that, then more reading has to be done. Man, I need to go study what it means to be grateful. See, that's the way that we understand what sabr is. So many people, mashallah, yours truly included, from way back in the day, I'm going to push it way back where it really happened, that we used to think sabr meant patience. See, so when you go from sabr to patience, and then you base your behavior on patience, patience does not include everything that sabr includes. Even though sabr includes everything good that patience in the English sense has. But if I act in accordance with what I said, God says I'm supposed to be patient. Okay, when I decide to make my behavior model the issue of patience, am I really acting Islamically? No, you're acting with the English, maybe even, you know, no, mashallah, no Christian mindset. It ain't necessarily bad, but it's not as complete as the Muslim ideal of sabr. You see what I'm saying? So it's very important to understand that your vocabulary has to become an Islamic vocabulary. So when your vocabulary is Islamic and a Quranic vocabulary, that's what shapes your mind. And in turn, that's what shapes your behavior. You see? So if we haven't spent much time learning the Quranic terms and the terms from Lughat al-Arabiyya in the reports of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're doing good relative to perhaps our English understanding of those words and those sources, and we'll be better than most. But we still are not as far as al-Islam would take us if we acted upon the words and their meaning in accordance with the way that they were revealed and the reason for which they were revealed. So, to conclude this portion, khutbah, it's the way I've just explained, the way that we always and in all ways act in the best and most meaningful way is what I just told you. Read from the sacred sources, scripture, creation, and when you get to those things that you don't have a clear Quranic, Islamic, Lughat al-Arabiyya understanding of, stop. Ask yourself, what does that mean? and how therefore should I behave? That habit is a habit that has to be cultivated. And then once you're in the habit of doing that, you see that's what shapes your character. Habit is character, right? It says for every thought there's an action, for every action there's a habit, for every habit there's a character, and for every character there's a destiny. So what is the source of your thoughts? So when you make the source of your thoughts the Quran, the source of your thoughts what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us, that's what shapes our character, Islamically speaking.
ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. All our letting not our hearts deviate now, your God is right, and grant us mercy from your own presence, for surely you're the grant of bondage without measure. Amen. Allahumma amen. Allahu Akbar. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Let me underscore this. And I see online and so many places a growing appetite and habit of actually doing what I'm talking about here and what this verse talks about. And I want to push that momentum. I want to push that motivation now. And it's this. From the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ما كان لبشر أن يعطيه الله يطعي الله الكتاب والحكم نبوات ثم يقول للناس كونوا عبادا لي من دون الله ولكن كونوا ربانيين بما كنتم تعلمون الكتاب وبما كنتم تدرسون. صدق الله العظيم. An expression of it is, it is not possible that a man who is given the book and the wisdom and the prophetic office, that they would say, be ye my worshippers rather than God's. On the contrary, they would say, be you of those who are possessed of command, authority, and mastery in the systems of knowledge that you are studying. So the Quran orders us to be masters of the book. Kunu rabbaniina, that is, be ye masters, rabbaniina al-kitab, of the book. That's an order, that's a command. It's a command just like we're ordered to pray, we're ordered to fast, we're ordered to give in charity, we're ordered to help the poor, and all of those, somehow we don't emphasize the mastery of the book that we say we live and die for and on. So you have to ask yourself, how much studying of what Allah has revealed, how much effort are you actually putting into learning how? I struggle in reading more with more fluidity in the book publicly in terms of that. But again, what saves my ego in that respect? What saves my ego is where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the one whose native tongue is the language, they get a blessing for what they do. But the one is not their native tongue and they struggle and they make mistakes in the reading, they get a double reward. Because the reward is commensurate to the effort. MashaAllah, listen please. Listen please. Don't think that everything that's easy for you is, oh, it's all good, Allah has blessed me, alhamdulillah. That ain't the thing. That's the gift from Allah to you. Your trial is that thing that you find difficult. That you have to put out the effort for. And the reward is commensurate to the effort, right? So in terms of the prophet dealing with the fact that whatever we can do, the difficulty that we face in trying to get to this revelation, then there's a reward in that.
So even that is a reason to continue to do the struggle and not try to guard your own self, your own ego. No, man, I ain't going to read it because I can't read it the way like everybody else. Or like I'm a Hafiz or something. No. Come on, man, who you think you are? I mean, literally, you got to ask yourself, who you think you are? I don't want nobody to get the wrong idea. Who do you think you are? You got to answer that question, right? Because who you think you are, that's what dictates your behavior. And if you got an image of yourself that's not really true to yourself, then you're living a false life. Okay, enough of that. So the key is, this is the Quran telling us be in the habit of reading. So all of this is to just underscore, emphasize, coach at halftime, locker room conversation, brother and sister. It's like, man, you got to get out there and read that Quran. You got to get out there and read that Quran in the original language. Oh, man, I've been Muslim 25 years. Man, it's too late. Stop talking like that. Stop talking like that. Start with Alif. Ba. Ta. Start. There are classes online, many, many classes online, with people at the same level that you're on. And they get, so you'll be in good company because they're struggling just like you're struggling. But the beautiful thing is that they're struggling together. And that they're struggling at all. And that Allah will bless your effort. Allah multiply. Allah in the Hadith Qudusi of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it says, when you come to Allah walking, He comes to you at speed. Right? So you make a little effort, Allah leverages your effort. But if you don't make any little effort, well then, don't you know Allah knows that? Allah knows that in your heart? He said, oh, okay, so you don't want to struggle for my word. You don't want to struggle. It's putting you out too much. You know, mashallah, I know, it happens to somebody other than me, so I have a thought. That maybe sometimes when you come time to pray, and you know, nowadays, the prayer time is real close, right? You do zuhur, and then, you know, what? Asr, what, 2:45? I just finished praying, you know. So you got to listen to yourself on the inside, right? So who are you talking to? What you talking about? And you get on the prayer rug, and you got to catch the little shaitanic impulses that come into your head. And you got to ask yourself, there's little, you know, I think it happens to somebody periodically. I know it does to me periodically. I know we're not Catholics. It's sounding like the second confession. You talked about the donuts last week. Now you're talking about that. But, you know, let's keep it a buck, as they say in the hood, right? So, you know, you went on prayer rug. Now, you just spent 2 hours doing some un-Islamic, when I say un-Islamic, meaning it wasn't relative to ibadah in a formal sense. I'm not talking about anything else. But something that, you know, it's like, whatever, clickbait photos. You just sat through watching a bunch of clickbait photos about pictures that had never been shown before. Now you can see all of this. You sit there, click, 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 click. So, you know, you'll spend an hour absorbing nothing. Then the alarm goes, Allahu Akbar, right? And it's time to pray. Right? And then sometimes, maybe just when you step on the rug, you know, you kind of get a sense of, why are you treating this like this is so difficult? And you just spend an hour doing frivolous, trivial nothing. And the Lord who made your eyes and everything else possible, He only asks you, just stand up for me for these few minutes, and you can go back to your frivolous, trivial stuff. But it's just like, God taking his time from me. Man, I got stuff I got to do. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. This is taqwa. Taqwa is that, man, wait. You better, what's wrong with you? Stop it. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Get back in line and recognize. Don't you ever question the Lord that make the bones possible for you and the feet on the bottom of your legs possible for you to stand up here just to say thank you. And then Allah said, it ain't for me, it's for you. So, but taqwa is what makes you acknowledge, oh, wait a minute, that's a shaitanic thought. That impulse is coming from somewhere that's way un-Islamic. Let me get myself back in check. Let me get myself back in order. Let me ask the Lord for forgiveness for even entertaining that impulse. Okay? So, we're to be masters of the book. And then that was, the verse was 79, verse 3, Surah Ali Imran. And then Surah 39, where it says, الَّذِينَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَبِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَعْتَبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ أولئك الذين هادهم الله وأولئك هم أولو الألباب أولئك هم أولو الألباب صدق الله العظيم 39:18 It says, speaking of the believers, they are those who listen to the words and they follow the best meaning in it. They are the ones that Allah has guided and they are the people of understanding. Brother and sister, this is God telling us, the first reading is saying, be ye masters of the book. Come on. I know we live in this world. Many of us got cousins, relatives, and neighbors, close people. You run into people in the grocery store, gas station line, etc. You got some Christians that will give you some serious testimony from the Bible. They will tell you. Peter in the second chapter, 31st verse, he said, all you're trying to do is just check out with your, you know, with your biscuits and vegetables. You know, so it's like, but they're ready to testify. They're ready to give you the clerk. I'm having an image in my mind right now. The clerk at the checkout, right? Checkout. I have a T-shirt that says "Seek the truth," right? Seek the truth. They saw that, oh man, ready to tell. I went to the butcher shop, I'm reminded now, went to the butcher shop, the Hispanic butcher there. Wallahi, he said, are you a minister? Out of the blue. Now, I had no insignia, no kufi, no this, no nothing. So I probably just like a senior citizen in the hood, right? Come on, own it. You got going on it, right? So, I just said, yeah, because I recognize in mashallah, that's how that spiritual peace works, right? And so then he asked me, he said, what about Abraham and his son Ishmael, blah, 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 right? And so I don't remember what I replied to him in terms of that. I was just so intrigued by the fact that, oh, you're going to go like that. And so, but the point to be made here is that I think that in the world that we live in, maybe we shouldn't be surprised, in the world that we live in, there are many, many astute, biblically astute lay Christians, meaning Christians that they're not in the pulpit anywhere, but they are familiar with their Bible, as familiar as, and perhaps more than even some preachers. And you know, you've seen these broadcasts, these programs, so where the preacher's up there preaching, and what you look out in the audience, what the people got? They got the Bibles. They got the Bibles. He said, well, turn over here. And they got notebooks. They got this and that. Jummah is not the formal place that we do that kind of thing. But the point is that God says also in the Quran, it says the nearest to the believers, the Muslims, are the Christians, because they study the book as it should be studied. This is the Lord Creator of the heavens and the earth telling the Muslims, don't be getting mad at them Christians. What are you getting mad at Christians for? They're close to you. But the reason they're close to you is because they study the book as it should be studied. So there are some Christians who can embarrass us about, through and by their relationship with their Lord and their scripture, as opposed to we who have the perfect way of life and the perfect book and the perfect model, and we take it for granted. See, that can sound like, oh, I'm saved. When you take it like that, like you don't have to do anything else, I took my shahada, that's good. I make my salat, that's good. I pay zakat sometimes, that's good. I fast all the time, Ramadan. Those are the basics. Do you understand? The Imam said, Rahimahullah alayhi, the five pillars of Al-Islam are what are necessary just to keep you human. Sometimes we think when we do some of those things and partly well, we think, I'm there. No. That's just the foundation. The life of Al-Islam is built on the character that comes from behaving always and in all ways in the best and most meaningful way. That's where we're going. That is that ihsan, and we're done for today. That is that ihsan. Behaving as though you are seeing God, and even though you don't see him, know that he sees you. That is when we are taking that form, that higher form that we're supposed to take when we evolve and when we grow and when we behave in accordance with Allah's design in this way of life. Allahu malaikatu yusalluna ala nabiyya ya ladina aminu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslim. اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. Oh Allah, we thank you for your graces. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your presence in our lives. Oh Allah, purify us. Purify us in our hearts. Purify us in our thinking. Purify us in our worship. Oh Allah, save us from our own arrogance. Save us from our own ignorance. Save us from our own anxieties and depressions and doubts about your presence. Oh Allah, bless us to always realize and actualize that you are never absent at any time and place. Oh Allah, bless us to always realize that if we are believers, then all things for us are good. If we are experiencing things that we are experiencing and we don't like them, oh Allah, give us the patience, give us the clarity of mind, give us the taqwa, give us the consciousness of you that will enable us to be able to bear without murmuring that trial that we are experiencing in that life. For we know that if it is that we don't take it in the best way, it's a sign that it is a curse upon us from you. Oh Allah, we pray that we'll never be cursed by you. Oh Allah, and bless us when we are experiencing blessings to understand that those blessings are a grace from you and that we should always be grateful. Oh Allah, bless us to recognize that you have said to us, and we believe that if we are grateful, you will give us more. Oh Allah, bless us to be more grateful. Help us in all ways, oh Allah. Help us in those ways that we don't even know that we need help. Oh Allah, clarify for us our misunderstandings. Oh Allah, enable us to become greater in our unity, in our spirit, in our purified earnestness towards you and your plans in the world. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Wa akimus salat. Allah.
peace of mind. It seems like you've been searching for a long time. Well, me, I finally got myself together.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, wa Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, start with a warning. Those of you on Blog Talk Radio, I didn't set my timing to the full measure of the time available. So in 14 minutes, the Blog Talk side is going to cut off and won't be able to get any there. It's just going to, you know, thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. That's going off 14 minutes. We are live now on Facebook and on YouTube. Both my channels are on Facebook and on YouTube. So I recommend that you go over to that if you're able to do so, mashallah. Otherwise, you'll be able to catch it. I guess we're going to the archives. So my deepest apologies. And with respect for the fact that we only have a limited amount of time, I'll take only the briefest of comments just to have input so that I can give some content before Blog Talk cuts off for those who are there. So comments, push one on your phone, come on through. Alhamdulillah, then we will continue. All right. Brother Mark, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother Kat, to you, Imam Fahim, Shuaib, and to your radio listening audience. Alhamdulillah, praise and thanks belongs to Allah. I'll be quick. I want to ask a question first. You began your khutbah, I think, with something that was related or narrated by Umar. And I didn't catch all those three things. So if you would state those. And then the other thing,
Slow. Three things. What were they related to?
It was related to, I think the last one that I heard was that intelligent question was half of knowledge.
Yeah, I'll do that for you, if you want me to do it right now. But that is also going to be the large portion of.
Okay. So I don't have the wherewithal to be able to transition,
I got you. Oh, yeah, and I did think about you in that respect, and so my apologies to you personally. Let me read that hadith for you, okay?
Okay.
And I'll also send it to you if that makes a difference. I don't know. I write.
That'd make a difference. If you could, that would be great. Yeah.
Okay, I'll do that. But let me go ahead and read it since you asked. It's the hadith of Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu. He narrates that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, moderation in expenditure is half of economy. Friendship with good people is half of wisdom. And intelligent questioning is half of knowledge. All right?
Alhamdulillah. Yeah,
moderation, friendship, and intelligence, and then each one is half of what's being discussed.
Yes, sir. Got you. Real quickly here, I just want to say thank you. One of the things that resonated is that, however a person sees themselves, how that can affect their behavior. And I remember, Imam Muhammad, when you was talking about the Quran, it's a book that should be read, and you used the word bread. Imam Muhammad said, be read. He also said that the Quran, when we're talking about creation-supported logic, he said the Quran is the little book that points us to the big book, which is itself. And then to go back to that, to see the Quran as the complete true scripture that gives us our true picture. And so if, in fact, that we get our picture from the true scripture, then this also will affect our behavior, but also our mental attitude and our disposition, our emotions and all, as to how we should be. Just want to stop right there because for sake of time, maybe some other people come on. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Wonderful, as always. Alhamdulillah. You remind us of where the Quran says that it is in the Umul Kitab, and I would take from Imam Muhammad's statement that you're citing that is a direct tie to that fact, and it's very, very profound. Do you understand? I won't elaborate. I won't spend the minutes of time for those people who also may be further limited on Blog Talk, because I want to incorporate what I was talking about, the hadith and challenges, people who are challenged in their reading of the Quran. I want to bring that up before the Blog Talk side shuts down. and again, I remind you, you can go to Facebook and YouTube and still be live with us. We will continue, inshallah. Well, let me throw this up for those who are already there. here's this report that I alluded to during the khutbah. It said in a hadith, Aisha radiallahu anha, she relates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Verily, the one who recites the Quran beautifully, smoothly, and precisely, he will be in the company of the noble and obedient angels. And as for the one who recites with difficulty, stammering or stumbling through its verses, then he will have twice that reward." So alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. His first like, you really have to really question yourself as to how come I don't try? How come I don't put the effort out? Whatever I got to do to get to become a fluent reader, then put that effort out. And even while you're putting out the effort, which when you achieve it, it puts you into the company of noble and obedient angels, that effort itself will give you twice that reward. So it's like there is no reason to hold back and not do it. If you're striving for what Allah has promised, if you're striving for what Allah has promised, I mean, I don't know what kind of logic you can come up with to say that it's okay not to put out the effort. I'm not even going to try to think that way. I mean, we can think about it, but not right now. So this hadith proves that people who are not well-versed in the Arabic language or who have other difficulties in reciting the Quran, they get even higher reward for reciting the Quran in Arabic for their extra effort. So stop delaying. Stop delaying. It's not good. I really don't know. It's like, really don't know. I mean, so like, if you put it this way, this image comes to mind. You know, okay, you got a bicycle. You have a long way to go, and you have a bicycle. You're walking right alongside. Bicycle's in perfect working order, and you're walking with your bicycle, holding your bicycle, and then, you know, getting tired, trying to get to where you're trying to go, and you're walking with your bicycle in your hand. So it's like, why don't you get on the bicycle and ride? Okay, well, I say that's how it is in terms of making progress on the path to al-akhir, to the Jannah, to the excellence that Allah has promised. That's like keeping your Quran with you but never reading it, keeping your Quran with you but never learning how to master it as the book itself tells you to master. You just keep it with you. So then that tells you then that you don't really see the Quran as a source of guidance. You don't see the Quran as an aid to your life. You got to ask yourself, well, what do I have this Quran for if I don't read it? And maybe you say, well, you're satisfied with, yeah, I read it every day. What do you read? You're reading a translation every day. Is that a good thing? Alhamdulillah, it's better than not reading it at all. But is that what Allah revealed? When you read that, are you reading what Allah revealed? No, you're not reading what Allah revealed. You're reading what someone told you that Allah revealed. But what Allah wants to reveal, what Allah has revealed for you, I should say, you have to go in and get it. You have to go in and get it. So do that. No matter what it takes, it doesn't matter. It's never too late. Let me go ahead and do a Bitcoin comment in there, right? What's said about Bitcoin is like it's never too early and it's never too late, right? Right now it's like $57,800 per coin, but there was a time when it was 57 cents, right? And now it's $57,000, right? Somebody might say, well, I'm too late. Well, a week ago or so, it was 69,000, right? So depending on where you look at it, it's like, oh, man, this is a chance. It's come down, 57,000, come down, $12,000, man. So different attitudes. Okay, we'll hold on the rest of the comments till Monday. What I'm saying is that it's never too early and never too late to start your journey for mastering the book as Allah has ordered for you. Get started. So let's go on with today. Alhamdulillah, bismillah al-awli wal-akhiri. So we finished up speaking about what Allah has said in the Quran. الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه أولئك الذين هداهم الله وأولئك هم أولو الألباب. Very rich knowledge in just that statement, أولو الألباب, that the man is given. Tempting, but we won't go into it right now. So let's go to that. Let's go to that hadith, because in the past weeks, in the 2 or 3 weeks of Jum'ah, it has been based on things that arise from the hadith that Brother Mark asked about at the beginning. And so I returned to it because that was the intention in the series itself. Okay, well, let's find an example of the abstract and how to translate the abstract into the concrete. The abstract is universal, and it's the truth without details. That's what Allah reveals to us in many cases. There are things that Allah tells us plainly in the Quran that are explicit in terms of what you should do, what you should not do. There are things that the Prophet says plainly and explicitly that tells us what we should and should not do, alhamdulillah. But life, that we think about it, how many billion people are on the planet right now? And if there's 1.4 or 5 billion Muslims, and then take half of that to make them adults, right? So 700 million or so adult Muslims, which means that there's 700 or so a million adult Muslims should be reading the Quran, right? So how many different lives and circumstances are there amongst those 700 million Muslims? It's like infinite relative to us. What concrete, explicit direction is not, meaning I'm speaking of things that are expressed explicitly in the Quran, direct explicitly in the Quran, they're not going to relate to every one of those human beings. However, the abstracts that are in the Quran can address, if the reader knows, they can address their unique situation if the individual knows how to see the guidance in abstract as it relates to their concrete condition. This is, okay, economics. The hadith that we said, moderation in expenditures, half economy, friendship with good people, half of wisdom, intelligent questioning is half of knowledge. So let's just look at the economic side. Everybody's going to be in different economic circumstances, but everybody is striving to improve their economic circumstances. All right? Okay, well, here's guidance from the Prophet. The Prophet said half the story is told in being moderate in your expenditure. So that's guidance for all 700 million. All 700 million, you can take guidance from that, right? Doesn't matter. You know, and I guess I do have to go ahead and stay with that as an example. And I remind you again, I need to search this out first. This is also my way of slowing myself down, because I do get carried away sometimes. All right. So I've chosen to speak about the first of those three. Moderation in expenditure is half of economy. And I am saying, my effort is to say, listen, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, the guidance that can be gained from the abstracts in the crowd. I mean, you don't have to go looking for the abstract, but just know this about the abstracts that are present in Al-Islam, in the Quran, and life model of Prophet Muhammad, that is universal instruction. That is ma'ruf. Ya'maruna bil ma'ruf. That is ma'ruf. Ma'ruf is knowledge that is beneficial in all times, circumstances, to all people. Now, that's some of that all the time knowledge that we're speaking of, the abstract, right? So these short phrases, these short comments that carry an infinite magnitude of knowledge, that's what I'm saying, this is the case. So all these things that I'm speaking to right now, these are just small examples that confirm what I'm saying. Now, my effort is try to get to be plain enough for you to get to where I am with it, inshallah. All right, so we said the abstract is the truth without details. So when the prophet gives us a short statement like moderation in expenditure is half of the economy, that's an abstract statement. Because it's the truth without details, but it is also universal, because whoever is interested in economy can get some guidance from that statement. Whoever is interested in economy can get some guidance from that statement, right? Moderation in expenditure is half of economy. All right, so then what do we do, right? You read it, and then you ask yourself, what does it mean? What does it mean? And then once you do that, we're going to take a step to get to the meaning, get to more of the meaning. What does it mean, and what therefore should I do? And I want to remind you, in the language of Imam Mu'adhdin Muhammad, logic means the behavioral expectation. That is, once you know what something means, then the next thing to know is how you're supposed to behave. If that's what it means, this is what you're supposed to do, right? All right, so when you know what you're supposed to do, now you have the logic. You have that, simple as that. If you hear any noise, it's just my grandbabies. So they're doing what they do, the twins. And, you know how the young ones anyway operate with each other. They are real special with each other as well. So moderation in expenditure is half of economy, right? All right, so I told you what to do. Read it. Find out what it means. Know what the behavior is. Okay, so now we're talking about, okay, how should you act? So let's proceed. So now we're drilling down on just that part of the statement. Moderation in expenditure is half of economy. So that if you want to improve your economy, then the first thing, or the primary thing that you have to have in mind as a principle of behavior, is be moderate in your expenditures. Now, I said that what Allah has given us and what the Prophet shares with us is of universal value. It applies to all people at all times. Okay, in this case, we're talking about economy, right? So the point is that if the Prophet says this applies to all, then the individual might say, "Well, economy. I don't even have money for expenditures. I don't have money for expenditures, just in case there's somebody in that condition, right? So everybody who does have expenditures, then automatically is like, okay, well, take that advice if you are a high net worth individual, or take that advice if you're a middle income person, take that advice if you're below the poverty line." But there's advice also in al-Islam, even if you don't have, if you're not participating in the economy at all, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you study him in this habit of reading and in this category of matters, you will find that the Prophet has said something that can help even the one who's in the lowest economic condition, like this hadith of the Prophet, peace be upon him. He says, Hazrat Anas, radiallahu anhu, he said that when a man of the Ansar came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and begged from him, he asked him whether he had anything in his house. The Prophet asked him whether he had anything in his house. And that's one thing right there. The fact is the man had a house, so he wasn't full-blown homeless, right? But this is also a part of the message. So when the man said that he had a piece of cloth which was used for wearing as well as for spreading on the ground, and a wooden bowl from which he drank water, the Prophet told him to bring them to him. And when he did so, he took them in his hand and asked, that is, the prophet took it in his hand and asked, who will buy these? When a man offered a dirham, he asked, this is a small coin of the time, when a man offered him a dirham, he asked twice or thrice, that's the prophet, two or three times he asked, who will offer me more than a dirham? And he gave them to a man who offered two dirhams. He then took the two dirhams and giving them to the Ansari man, he said, buy food with one of them and hand it to your family and buy an axe. This is talking about the axe head, right? The axe head with the other and bring it to me, the axe head. Bring the axe head to me. When he brought it, when he bought it, Allah's prophetic messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is after the person bought the axe head and brought it to the prophet fixed the axe head to a handle with his own hands, and he said, go gather firewood and sell it, and don't let me see you for a fortnight. A fortnight is 2 weeks. That's a pay period. And don't let me see you for a fortnight. The man went away and gathered firewood and sold it. When he had earned 10 dirhams, he came to him and bought a garment with some of them and food with others. Then the prophet, peace be upon him, said, this is better for you than that begging should come as a spot on your face on the day of resurrection. Begging is right for only three people, one who is in grinding poverty, one who is seriously in debt, or one who is responsible for blood with, that is paying back a debt after someone has been killed, and by law, the near relative, someone has to pay the blood with for that. It says, or responsible for blood with, and he finds it difficult to pay. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters, as I say about all of these type of reports from the Prophet, there is a university of knowledge in just that report. Wallahi, wallahi. I won't even start on it. I'll just say, you just look at everything that the Prophet did. If you put a technical economic analysis on just that hadith,